Lord Jesus Christ made the world and everything in it. He made the universe and everything in it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things, and He is the owner of this world. Now, we may think that Jesus does not own this world based upon what we see. And there's no doubt that the devil has wreaked havoc, but this is not outside of the understanding and power of God. God has not made us into people who must do what He says. He has given us the right to choose whether or not we will obey Him or not. And this is true. We are not robots, and we are not pre-programmed. And though God knows all things, God does not make a person get saved, and God does not make a person obey. By the way, always remember that. God doesn't make anybody do anything. But there are certain things we know that God will make happen. God will make those who are saved children of God. There's nothing we can do about it. We get saved, we're automatically children of God. And there's many different things, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the owner and the only one who is worthy to loose the seals in the book. We looked at the first seal, which is the judgment of the Antichrist. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus, is going to allow as judgment upon the earth the Antichrist to come upon the scene. Now, the Lord is able to, and this is important for what we're going to talk about today, the Lord is able to suppress and to keep back the full force of what the devil would want to do in the world. All right? He's able to hedge and keep back the devil, and He does that by His own decree. You might say, well, He can do that all the way, and He will. But now He has kept this world safe in some respects from what the devil wants to do. But when the Antichrist is loosed upon the world, it is the beginning of one of the most ferocious works of the devil, and the most ferocious works of the devil in this world, going back all the way to Adam and Eve and what he did in the garden. But right now, the Lord is keeping at bay the works of the devil. He's doing that for us and because of us. But when we begin to see the Antichrist loosed upon the world, guess who's not here? We're not here. And when the Lord looses the Antichrist upon the world, the people of God filled with the Spirit of God are not going to be here. And we're going to see tonight this second sealed judgment. And one of the reasons why these things are going to come to pass, because we're not here. God is going to allow a most devastating thing to happen. And it's not Him that does it, but the people of the earth. But we're here now, and because we as God's people are here, we won't know this side of heaven how many bad things didn't happen in the world because we're here. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that God cares for us and keeps bad things happening in the world because we're here. But when we're not here, Jesus has made it very clear in Matthew 24 that all of that is going to fall apart. As if the Lord has taken His hand off it all and says, well, we're just going to let it go. And God's judgment is going to come one after the other after the other. We looked at the way people are going to be saved. By the way, are people going to be saved in this tribulation period? Yes. There's going to be two witnesses that witness in Jerusalem. Two witnesses who are going to proclaim the gospel. And we know that many are going to get saved. In fact, there are going to be 144,000 male virgin Jews who are going to take what they hear from those two witnesses and they're going to be witnesses around the world. And there's likely going to be very, very many people who are going to get saved. But there are those who are not going to be able to get saved because they're going to believe a strong delusion sent by the Lord. Because they were given the gospel while we're here. They're given the gospel while we're here. And They refused to believe because they wanted to live according to their unrighteous lusts. By the way, that's why people don't believe today. It's always been that way. It's not that when a person hears the gospel, they know what they're hearing is true. Romans chapter 2 makes it very clear that God is not hiding things and He's not trying to keep people from believing. And so why do people not believe? It's because they want to live according to their unrighteous lusts. And because of that, once the tribulation begins, because they heard the gospel and said, no, I'm not going to believe that. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not going to believe in Jesus because I know if I do that, and many people say that. I've talked to many people, and they'll say, I know if I believe in Jesus, I'm going to have to stop drinking. I'm going to have to stop taking drugs. I'm going to have to stop partying. I'll wait until I'm older, because I want to have a good time now. And that's just an indication that they want to consume their lives with their lusts. And that's the way the world is. And those lusts lead people to do really, really devastating and terrible things. But we are here. And God has called us to be two things. He has called us to be the salt of the earth. And I believe because we're here, by the grace of God, there is a preservation of society. We might say, well, my goodness, we're not doing a very good job. That may be true. But just imagine what it would be like if we weren't here. Imagine what America would be like with no Christians. Imagine what America would be like with the majority of people being secular evolutionists, believing in no God, believing in that God created nothing, that we are here by chance. Just imagine what people would be like. Imagine what our country would be like. Imagine what politicians would do without us being here. We are the salt of the earth. And Jesus says we are to be the light. He says, I am the light. But then He says, you are the light. And that means that we are to be as Jesus is, leading people to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they might be saved. Like I said this morning, I believe with all my heart that every day people are getting saved. I believe thousands of people get saved every day. Now, the same is true. Thousands of saved people die and go into eternity. And there may not be more people getting saved than saved people who die. Now, there's no way to prove that. But it sure doesn't seem like there's more Christians As the population of our world grows, it doesn't seem like Christianity is keeping up with the population. But there's no doubt in my mind that every day thousands of people come to know the Lord. There is no doubt about that. I believe, like I said, I believe that people get saved in every time zone around the world every day. And God has called us to be the light of the world, so that people can understand that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They can forsake the darkness of their sin and come to the light. Just imagine if we weren't here. Just imagine if we weren't here. We think about the darkness that goes on in certain cities when they get upset. We look at the riots that we've seen happen in our own country and around the world. We've seen the violence of Islam around the world. We've seen lots of bad things. But just imagine what our world would be like if we were not here. I promise you, it will be more violent. One day, we are not going to be here. And that is going to have its effect on the world. And God is going to loose judgment upon the world because we are not here. And it is going to lead to very bad things happening. And we can see as we look at what's going on in our world, how that could happen. They said that this summer was going to be a summer of rioting around our nation. Praise the Lord, it wasn't. You ever ask yourself why it wasn't? Maybe when Christians started hearing this is going to be the summer of rioting, we began to pray. And we prayed in our own church about these things. And I know we weren't the only one in America that did. Is it possible that God answered our prayers? But who's going to be praying when we're gone? Who's going to be praying when we're gone? Who is going to be the salt? And who is going to be the light? You notice there in Revelation chapter 6, we're going to come to the second seal. What is the second judgment that's going to come upon the world during the tribulation? The Bible says, starting there in verse 3, when He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And so here we have the second seal. What is it? Now listen. Most Bible prophecy teachers that I've seen will talk about war. I believe there's going to be war. But I want you to notice in this verse. Listen again. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And now many Bible teachers will teach that this is the bringing together of nations against Israel. The more I think about this, the more I look at the words, the more I study it out, I'm not sure that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, will there be a gathering of the nations against Israel? Yes. But as we look at the timeline of things, I believe that happens. That's going to happen at the end of the book of at the end of the tribulation. And so at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a lining of nations against Israel with the Antichrist as its head, come to destroy the Israelites and to wipe them off the map. By the way, are there nations that want to wipe Israel off the map? Sure. There are some nations that say it every single day. And nations like ours, we say, "Oh, we just don't believe what they say. Ah, it's just rhetoric. We don't believe them." Give me a break. The moment they think they can get away with it, they will do it. There's going to come a time where they're going to think they can get away with it. And nation is going to, all the nations of the world are going to align themselves against Israel. And there's going to be there's not going to be a battle. The Lord's going to come. He's going to win the battle. There's not going to be any casualties on the other side. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be lots of war during the book of, during the tribulation. But I don't think we can limit what's going to happen around the world to just nations fighting one another. There's no doubt that there's wars and rumors of wars. Obviously, there's been wars throughout the history of the world. Obviously, people have hated other people and they've killed and killed and killed. That stuff's happened throughout history. But imagine what the world will be like when we're not here. Do you think that there has been more peace, less peace, or it doesn't matter one way or the other, because we Christians have been here for the past 2,000 years? Do you think there's been more peace, less peace, or it doesn't matter, whatever? It does, you know, people are just people. I think there's been more peace in the world because we're here. And we'll see that in a second. Because God gives peace. God gives peace. But when we're no longer here, who's He going to give peace to? Who is He going to give peace to? Now, there will be people that get saved, but there's going to be no church. And so there is going to be, listen to what it says. God is going to give this red horse, and there went another horse that was red, and power was given unto him. There's someone on this red horse. Now, I don't know, I don't believe it's a literal red horse coming out of heaven, but there's going to be a sudden, and it's going to be very sudden, beginning of great and intense violence. And can we not see that potentially happening already? There are some cities that are like a ticking time bomb, ready to explode. There are universities in our country that are a ticking time bomb, ready to explode. And God is going to unleash a great judgment upon the world. Because it says, and there was given unto him that sat thereon, and power was given unto him that sat thereon, to take peace from the earth. In other words, there is a peace that God has given. We say, well, there's not much peace. So there's more peace now than there will be then. In other words, God is giving there's a protection from God, terrible, terrible violence. We look at the murder rates in some cities and we say, well, there's 100 murders for every 100 people, every million people. I want you to know, when this judgment is loosed upon the earth, that is going to go up considerably. That is going to go up considerably. Now, I praise the Lord for the great safety and peace He's given us today. I lock my doors at night. But honestly, a lot of that's just because my wife tells me to. If I fell asleep and forgot to lock the doors, if my wife wasn't there, I wouldn't get up and lock them. I'd say, you know what? Nothing's going to happen. Because nothing has ever happened. Now, you might say, well, that's kind of foolish. Something could happen. That's true. Something could happen. But honestly, we live in our homes in a great relative peace, don't we? I mean, Bob and Gail, you live right in downtown Westerly. I know bad things go on there, sure. There's a murder in Westerly every once in a while. But honestly, we live in a relative peace, don't we? You know, if my wife wanted to go to New York City today, I wouldn't say, it's just too dangerous. Do bad things happen in New York City? Sure. But there's relative peace in New York City. I may not go to Detroit, but that's a different story. That was supposed to be funny, but it's not really funny. Detroit's pretty bad. But there's relative peace. There's relative peace. I mean, there's been times, and we may not go to Baghdad today, but there have been times after the Gulf War that people started to go to Baghdad as a vacation. People go to Saudi Arabia for vacation. These are places that are you know, there's danger of violence. People have gotten on planes and gone to Paris since last week. They didn't say, well, I'm going to give up my vacation. They said, well, I'm going to go because, listen, what's the chances that that's going to happen again? And honestly, what are the chances? I mean, they're not that big, comparatively speaking. The chances are that if you wanted to go to Paris for vacation, you'd go, be safe, and have a good time. If you wanted to go to London for vacation, you'd go, you'd be safe and have a good time. You can go to Israel. Right in the middle of it all. And people go to Israel. I am constantly getting emails Pastors, for whatever reason, they get all the emails. Oh, come to, you want to go to, we'll bring you on a Bible trip. And I'd love to go on one. So I'm not belittling it, but, you know, Brother Rosado, come on, let's go to Israel. Let's go to Israel. Well, listen, isn't Israel a very violent place? Isn't there a lot of bad things that go on there? Aren't there Muslim ladies who are stabbing policemen over there? Yeah, that is. That's true. But honestly, we live in it's relatively safe. But when he speaks this way, I believe, and I believe this to be true, that when this judgment is loosed upon the earth, people will not want to go outside of their house at night, no matter where they are. There will be locks on the doors, and they will be bolted shut. Because God is going to lift the peace. How many of you have ever gotten mad at somebody? Sure. How many of you have gotten so mad that you wanted to explode? You know? And you didn't go and kill anybody, but you thought, and maybe you didn't even think you were going to kill anybody. But you wouldn't mind if maybe they happened to just die. You know? Just imagine that God took away the peace in the world, and that whatever we wanted to do in our rage, we just did it. We just did it. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like to be married when this judgment is going to be put upon the earth. Because husbands and wives get mad at one another. In fact, husbands and wives get more mad at each other than maybe anybody else in the world. But I've never thought, well, I'm going to kill my wife. Praise the Lord. But when this judgment is loosed, that is not going to be the case. Husbands and wives, I think, are going to kill each other. Because they're not going to be held back by God. God holds back people. I mean, you'd think unsaved people would do these things, this violence. What it says is they're going to kill one another. But they don't. I mean, there's, in terms of murder, even around the world, the murder rate is not significantly high. More people are going to die of heart disease this year and cancer this year and all these types of things than murder. Right? And so, we might say, well, we could take that and say we don't live in a very violent world, even though we know it is more violent than it has been. But imagine if people being murdered was higher than heart disease. Imagine if that were the case. We would say, wait a second. This world is violent. Well, look what he says. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. There's peace on the earth, he's going to take it. And look what it says. And that they should kill one another. Who is the they? And who is one another? I want you to know, I do not believe it's just that nations line up against one another and go to war. But I think violence is going to rule the days of the tribulation once this is loosed upon the earth. It's going to be a scary place to live. That makes sense? It's going to be a scary place to live. And the reason is because there is a God of peace who makes peace in the world. He puts peace upon the world where there would be no peace. He brings peace upon the world where there would be no peace. But when we're gone, and the tribulation begins, and the judgments of God upon a world that hates Him begin to be loosed with the Antichrist, and then this red horse judgment, it's not just going to be wars that come. but it's going to be violence upon the earth. And it's going to be a terrible day, but praise the Lord, we're not going to be here. Right? And we shouldn't want anybody to be here. We should not want anybody to be here. May God help us to understand God's power in bringing peace and keeping peace upon the world. Let's take a look at some verses. I've got a bunch of them, and I don't think we'll get to all of them, but I want to get to some of them. And many of them have the same type of thing to say, but we need to understand that our God is a God of peace. He is a God of peace. And He brought peace. He sent His Son so that we might have peace between us and Him. But He also leads us to be at peace with one another, doesn't He? He also leads us to be at peace with one another. And so look, take a look there in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, in starting in verse 67, we have Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. His mouth was shut for 9 months. Then it was loosed, and what did he say? Notice what God says through Zacharias. Starting in verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." That's peace. That is God giving peace in the world. Why? Because we're here, right? Isn't that what it's saying? He's going to save us from our enemies in the world. How does He do that? One of the ways He does that is keeping them from fighting us and attacking us. Verse 70, "As He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which He had since the world began, that He should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He sware unto our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear." God delivers us out of the hand of our enemies. You ever thought why we don't have that many enemies? I mean, I get mad at my neighbor sometimes, but praise the Lord, that hasn't been the case as much. We've been praying a lot. He even waved at me the other day. And so we're working on it, right? But just imagine if there was no God. There'd be no wall between us. We would have knocked it down going after each other. I know that's true. But God gives us peace between our enemies. Does that mean that He struck my neighbor down? Maybe it just calmed him down. And I think God's able to do that. He does it for us all the time. Just imagine how bad it would be for us if God didn't give us peace with our enemies. And God does give us peace with people who don't like us, who want nothing to do with God, don't like us because we're goody-two-shoes, because we don't say bad words, because we don't tell dirty jokes. "I don't like you. Why?" "You won't tell a dirty joke. You won't laugh at my dirty jokes." "Well, I'm sorry you don't like me for that, but that's pretty dumb." But listen, just imagine what it would be like at work for Christians if God didn't give peace. God is the giver of peace, that we might serve Him without fear. 75, "In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way." That's the John the Baptist. "To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." That's Jesus. Why did He do it? Verse 79. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What does Jesus do? What does He do through us? He leads us to give light to them that sit in darkness, because we are the light as He is the light, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say there is a great measure of peace upon the world today because we're here. And it's not because of us, it's because God loves us and therefore has given a great measure of peace. Now, there will be a day when there is complete peace. But that's after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But just imagine what it would be like without God making the way of peace in the world, protecting us from our enemies, sometimes by just calming them down. Imagine what life would be like. I live out my days for the most part. I can go a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days without fighting with anybody. You know? Going a little while without anybody wanting to kill me. Why? Why? Because of God. Because of God. Look at chapter 2. The Lord Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds in the field, they're keeping their flocks by night. The angels come in all their glory. What do they cry? They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What would happen if God took away His working of peace in the world? What if He took away there being any goodwill toward men? You know, we're going to have Christmas and businesses are going to give turkeys and they're going to give bonuses and they're going to give presents and moms and dads are going to give presents and people are going to give presents to one another just because it's Christmas. Goodwill toward men, right? That's what all the movies on Hallmark Channel, that's what it's all about, right? Goodwill toward men. And there is. During Christmas, people seem to just get along a little better until the 26th, then they go back to what it was. What if there was no goodwill toward men from God? You can imagine what a terrible judgment that would be upon the world. What a terrible judgment that would be upon the world. John chapter 14. In verse 27. Now this is Jesus speaking to His disciples. He says, "Peace I leave with you." And I ask you this, where does peace come from? It comes from God. Peace comes from God. I don't know where a person who believes that we have evolved from goop struck by lightning, where does peace come from? Where does it come from? I want you to know it comes from God. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. "Peace I leave with you." What does He mean by that? Well, we have peace with God. But also there is a peace that God gives us to be able to live in this world and live out, for most of us, relatively unharmed. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid." Turn to Romans chapter 1. And this phrase is used in many of the epistles, maybe not almost all, but most of the epistles, this type of phrase is used. And so we won't look at all these phrases, but I do want to look at this first one. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from" who? From God, right? "From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. Without God giving His peace, there would be no peace. Right? What would life be like if you had no peace? It would be scary, wouldn't it? We'd always be afraid. We would always be afraid. There are times in our lives when we're afraid of what the lack of peace may do. Maybe you've got lack of peace with your boss. Well, what will you be afraid of? Afraid of getting fired. Right? And so there are times in our life where a lack of peace brings fear. But we don't have to live in fear, do we? Why? Because there's peace. Imagine if we had to be afraid that everybody who ever got mad at us might kill us for it. We'd be afraid all the time, wouldn't we? We'd be afraid just a lot of the time. We'd be afraid a lot of the time. Imagine what churches would be like. My goodness. It'd be war zones. But God gives peace. Romans 3, verse 17. This is what God says about us. Now, this is what God says about the human race. This is what He says about every single person in the world. And so either God is lying here, and this is not true, or God gives peace. What does He say? Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used to deceit. The poison of asps is in under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is what God says. Now, have you ever read that and thought to yourself, well, man, people aren't that bad. Have you ever thought that? I have. God, I know people swear and curse, but not everybody. I can go to Walmart tonight, and I could probably go in and get out and nobody curse. I know there will be people that curse, but it's not like everybody is all the time. I remember before I was saved, I swore a lot. I swore a lot. But I knew when to not swear. And so, we might say, well, God, You say their mouth is full of cursing, but I can go talk to people and they're not going to curse me out. Most people that I go and talk to, if they don't want to talk to me, they say no thank you. They don't curse me out. I've only had that happen a couple times. And so, God, what are You talking about? Are You lying to me, God? Or maybe without God, everybody would be cursing. There would be incredibly... In fact, one of the things that is... It's not as violent as murder, but my goodness, it's violent, is when people start cursing at each other. I've been around it a couple times in my life, where people are swearing and cursing at one another to the point where they're in each other's faces and the spittle is going back and forth between them. I've been there. I've been part of it. But it's not happening all the time. Even when I wasn't saved, I wasn't fighting all the time. And so, God, are You lying? Or have You done something to keep this from happening? To where if You stop doing it, this would be exactly what would happen in the world. Right? Where the cursing that we would do, had there been no God, had there been no Christians to be salt and light in the world, just imagine how much cursing there would be out of the mouths of people. There's no doubt about it. Look what it says. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to shed blood. That means that they run to stab people. Well, listen. Yeah, we know there's... We can turn on the news and there might be a murder in Providence today. I think there's, you know, about 20 or 30 people are killed in Providence every year. So maybe we turn it on. But learn about a stabbing. That might happen. But not everybody. Now, either God is lying because He's talking about everybody, or God has His hand upon the earth keeping people from doing what they would do without His hand upon them. That makes sense? Just imagine what life would be like if this what would happen upon the earth. If God's hand of protection, His hand of mercy, His hand of giving peace upon the earth weren't there. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. This is what God says. In fact, we give these verses to help people understand their sin. The danger is that they say, well, listen, I'm not running to kill anybody. Here's the thing. You would if you could. You would if you could. I don't curse all the time. You would if you could. And one day, in that second judgment of the tribulation, when that person on that horse comes down and has power to take peace away, that's what's going to start happening. Can you imagine how much stress people are going to be in when everybody is yelling at each other all the time? I mean, how many times do we accidentally bump into somebody, or we say something that's misunderstood, and they don't yell, they just say, well, listen, man, that was dumb, you know, we stop it. You know, we just for whatever reason, somehow there's something keeping us from jumping down each other's throats and just going nuts all the time. But what if that's not there? What if we're not here? And what if God takes away the peace? What a terrible place to be. Can you imagine being a teacher during those times? Just imagine what it would be like in Exeter. Now, there's no doubt that people get into yelling matches at school. Just imagine if that was tenfold every day, or 20-fold, or 100-fold. They'd probably shut schools down. Say, we can't deal with this anymore. Just go home. But that's what God says. He says He's going to come and He's going to take away peace. Romans 14. In verse 17. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so where does peace come from? In this verse it says it comes from the Holy Ghost. When we leave, who's going with us? Where does the Holy Ghost reside on the earth today? In us. In the souls of Christians. That's right. When we're up and gone, where's He going to be? Where's the peace going to come from if He's not here? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll go quickly on these last few and we'll skip some. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Start there in verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so where does peace come from here? It comes as Christians pray. Right? What if there's no Christians praying? Where is the peace going to come from? And so what I'm trying to lead us to is the understanding that this definitely could happen, and absolutely will happen, when we're not on the earth anymore. There's peace on the earth because we're here. It's not because of us, but it's because we're here. Where does the peace come from? It comes from God. And God has called us to be the salt and light of the world. And we ought to be, as long as we're here, we ought to be that for the sake of the world. Because when we're out of here, the Antichrist is going to come. And then one of the very next things is there's going to be no more peace. I think it's going to lead to all kinds of devastation. There will be wars. There will be riots. There will be thefts and murders. And people are going to live in a constant state of stress. They're not going to sleep as much as they should. Because how can you sleep if you're afraid of what someone might do to you? Because they just cursed you out the day before and said, I'm going to kill you. I remember when I was a high schooler getting to fights with people that were loco. I mean, they were nuts. And I'd get on the wrong side. He'd start yelling at me. I'd start yelling at them. He'd say, I'm going to kill you. I thought, my goodness, this guy might. I'm going to lock my door. I'm glad I don't live that way anymore. But can you imagine if that was happening all the time? People would not sleep at night. It's going to be a bad time to live. But we live in a good time. Because God has given us peace in a world that is going towards this. The world's going towards it. But man, hasn't God given us peace? That's something to give thanks for. I can't believe how much peace He's given that we shouldn't have. We shouldn't have it, but He's given it to us. I praise Him for it. Thank the Lord for His great, great peace. May God help us to live in that peace and being a help in giving peace to the world for as long as we're here. Amen? For as long as we're here. And I thank God for the peace He gives. I thank it for my children's sake. I really do. You know? And I don't know how my children would grow up if I weren't saved. Because I was a bad dude. I mean, I just was mean. And you may say, well, you're still mean. But that's something else. But I just imagine how much more mean I was. And I'd get in people's faces and say just bad things. And I can't imagine what my kids would have to grow up in if that were the way I was still. But I thank Him for His peace in my life that He's wrought because I'm saved. I just thank Him for it. And praise Him that we're going to be out of here before that day comes, that day of judgment.